Item number five is a subdivision and rezoning for 444 Grassy Boulevard under file DASZ 34 of 2010. And in accordance with the City of Winnipeg Charter and the Development Procedures Bylaw, this is a combined hearing and the following item will also be heard at the same time. Namely, item number six is a variance for 444 Grassy Boulevard under file DAV 167749 of 2010D.
Okay, I have the applicant being Mike O'Shaughnessy and Catherine Mays. Could you state your names and addresses for the record, please?
Mike O'Shaughnessy, 108 212 Watson Street, Winnipeg.
Catherine Mays, 35 Clearwood Cove, East St. Paul.
Okay, so it's not...
Sorry, that was the Global Homes address I put on there.
That was your work address? So
yes.
Your home address is what again?
35 Clearwood Cove.
Okay. East St. Paul? Thank you. Okay. Go ahead, Mr. O'Shaughnessy.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. The items before you are a repeat of a hearing heard by this community committee in 2005. The personnel is 100% changed, including planners from 2005, so I know it'll be treated on the merits of the day. But it was recommended for approval at that time, and Mr. Gertson, the owner of Global Homes and the original owner of the land, got into a big kerfuffle. It ended up in court, and nothing ever went ahead. So here it is. They've come to an agreement with the help of the courts, and it's back here starting from square one once again. The planner's report, Mr. Gertson, has absolutely no problem with the one with the recommendations. The one item is it talks about creating 13 lots. It's creating 12. There's one lot now. The one lot will be a great huge lot off Grassy, will be turned into 13, but the one house that exists will stay, and it is the largest piece of frontage on Grassy, which I think you'll see from the drawings that are attached to the clause. As for the variance, no problems whatsoever with anything in it, which takes it down to the ACG report, which you might be amazed to know, councillors, that some people sometimes have problems with clauses in ACG reports. And on behalf of, gosh, my client, I guess, I would like to bring up a number of things within the report, not all 23 clauses, which, by the way, was 13 clauses last time it was here. It's the same development as all of a sudden 23 clauses, but here we go. And there are only five of the 23 that we have a problem with. Number one, where it says the developer shall at no expense of the city construct all water mains, wastewater sewers, and land drainage sewers in Grassy Boulevard and Williamson from their existing termini to the eastern limit of the proposed subdivision. Well, that would be fine if all the services came to the westerly limit of the proposed subdivision. Williamson is no problem. Williamson, the services are there. It's new. It's just continuing on for five more lots on each side, as you can see from the diagram that comes with it. But in, and it's going to come up again a little later, in Grassy. Grassy is paved from, well, from La Jemaudière to Scourin. Beyond Scourin, it converts, it comes down and converts to a hardtop asphalt. To build two new homes on Grassy and to pave on one side of Grassy and to pave full-width Grassy from Scourin to the eastern terminus across the existing homes, across the one remaining home from the original owner of this land, and to cover both sides, well, would cost much more money than you'd sell the two lots for. It just makes it impossible. The costs in Williamson are fair. The developer has a little problem with the looped water main, but on Williamson, that's absolutely necessary. You have to have the looped water main. So we're not gonna complain about that there. But if he has to, in this case, the pavement comes up in a later clause, but if he has to extend sewers, water mains, down Grassy to the eastern terminus at this cost, he has to oversize them for the distance in between. The existing homes that were built just west of there that didn't have to pay any of this may well have been Qualico. I know Qualico did the start of Williamson. So why is all of a sudden he have to front all this? It's very difficult in a small 12-home development, only two of which are on Grassy, to pay these costs. So clause one.
Clause two is what we have here, Councillor. Schedule B?
Clause one, the developer shall, and I've got the...
I have clause two, the developer shall, at no expense to the city, construct all water mains, water, wastewater sewers, and land drainage sewers in Grassy Boulevard. Is that where we're...
Am I reading from the right?
I got a clause two in my report.
Might have had an earlier...
Might have had an earlier version.
Our report says the developer shall, at no expense to the city, construct all water mains, wastewater sewers, and land drainage sewers in Grassy Boulevard and Williamson Crescent from the existing termini to the eastern limit of the proposed subdivision. This shall include a looped water main connection at the east end of the development. That's clause one in the report we were given.
Well, I have before us here in our report, in our agenda, Councillor, is the Schedule B, the developer amending its plan to include, Schedule B, item net one, and they call it plan considerations. The developer amending its plan.
Okay. So that's B. We're talking about B1. I'm sorry. We didn't have
we're
any question with A1. It's the B.
B2.
Oh, it listed as two, so it's been all renumbered.
Yeah, sorry.
So this this could be fun.
Okay. Yeah,
well,
so.
But that's.
Okay, I just want to make it so we're talking apples to apples.
Well,
here. So you're referring. I understood what you were saying.
I'm
referring to
clause two, and here I am lost again.
I just want to be
talking the same numbers here.
Yeah.
The next one I have that I'd like to comment on, if I may, is. Okay. I'm looking at the. Number nine, the developer paid to the city. Yes, now we're on the same numbers. Okay. The developer shall pay to the city prior to the release of the approved subdivision milers its share of the cost of acquiring property for and constructing a permanent north-south secondary access street to connect Williamson Crescent to Grassy Boulevard.
Where are you reading this again? Sorry.
Clause nine.
Okay.
Word for word.
Okay.
Item 9 in the ACG report.
Okay.
If you look at the diagram that you have before you, Global plans to build 5 homes on either side of Williamson Crescent, extending it east. It plans to build 2 additional homes on Grassy Boulevard. If it is then, as clause says here, to extend Williamson and turn it up to Grassy, would it do it by eliminating 4 of its lots, or would it do it on somebody else's property who hasn't agreed to sell their property? Does Global Homes have the power of expropriation? No. So that is an impossibility for the developer to do. This is not going to be the end of Williamson anyway. All it needs at the end of the new lots is a temporary turnaround. Right now, where it ends 5 lots earlier, there is no turnaround. It's just a blunt dead end. You have to pull into somebody's driveway, as I did today, to turn around. A proper bulb, asphalted temporary turnaround till the street can be continued is in order. But to build a full concrete street and turn it up to Grassy for these few houses, there's only going to be a cul-de-sac 9 houses deep at this point. There are dozens and dozens of cul-de-sacs 9 houses deep all over this city. So, and to build, if you build the property build the extension asked for to Grassy on Global's property, you cut out at least four lots. It's impossible. Once again, the road would cost more than you'd get. If you do it on someone else's property, the city cannot, would never hold up in court to make it a condition on him because he doesn't own the property and he can't buy the property. The person could then say, by the way, that person is in this room. I just met them tonight. Say, hey, you have to buy it according to the city. I want $100 million for it. It's, that Clause 9 is an absolutely impossible condition for the developer to meet, and it's totally unnecessary. To change it to a temporary bulb end of the cul-de-sac for now would give you all the safety you need in there, much better than you have now. And why were none of these clauses on the people who built, if you look down at the first four houses on each side of Williamson, they were built by this small little developer called Qualico. Why didn't they have to do any of this? There's no turnaround at all at the end of Williamson now. He's at least willing to put in a turnaround up there. But to make him build a concrete street out over somebody else's property, who may not want to give up their property, is silly. Moving on, if I might, to the next clause, Clause 10. And we, don't worry, we're not going to go into all of them from here, but Clause 10, that the developer shall at no expense to the city finance and construct in Grassy between the existing terminus of the Portland Cement at Scourin and the eastern limit of the planned area shall pave it, the whole thing, both sides. He's putting two lots on that street. How can he pave from Scourin right through the new houses built beside here? Qualico or whomever, I'm sorry, I don't want to blame them for that, never had to pave it. This is where the existing home is and is going to stay. That's the widest lot there. There's only two more lots. How can anyone afford to pave this street for the people on the other side of the street, for the people back to the west, to put in two homes? And by the way, Mr. Gertson builds starter homes. The homes are $250,000 range. This is not going to be crazy. I'm just saying, I'm not saying what's right and what's wrong. I'm saying it's impossible. If you're going to say no, damn it, say no. But don't say you have to spend $150,000 to create a lot that you'll sell for $100,000. It's impossible. So what I'm saying is somebody has just got, as usual, I'm ranting. As usual with the ACG, the wish list is out. Everything you want gets compiled and put in. Nothing gets thrown out. And streets and trans, I know, for one, have a lot of needs that don't get covered in the city's budget, and they try to make it up on developers. But I just don't see how it's possible to pave all the way from Scour into the eastern edge to create two lots. It's because you don't need them for Williamson. You only need it for Grassy, and you're only creating two lots. Why didn't anybody else have to do it? Why does this one small developer have to do it to do two lots? So Clause 10, I think, has to be deleted. It's just asking too much. Clause 11 sort of contradicts those earlier clauses we talked about. It's in the event that the services fronting the subject property are installed by others, the developer shall pay its share. Well, you just said he has to do it all. But you realize it's a ridiculous clause, so you put out, well, if somebody else does it, he'll pay his share. Well, of course he'd pay his share. He'd be delighted to pay his share. The street, he'd pay for the, you know, in front of his two lots he's creating. So Clause 11 is fine. But if you did the other clauses, it would be totally redundant. But I think a lot of people realize that earlier clause of 1 and 10, you put them together, they're impossible. If it were a larger development, some of this stuff could all be done and worked out for the area, because Grassy Boulevard is not a residential street. It is a major collector. I went over there to have another look today before coming here, and I came through at rush hour. Hundreds and hundreds of cars coming off of, is it Plessy? And turning down Grassy to get to the lights at La Jemaudière. This is not a residential street, and it is a major collector. And it's just, it should be paved, absolutely, but not by some guy putting on two lots. It's, I move along to clause 18. The developer shall pay its share of the costs of services previously installed by the city and others in Grassy, fronting lot 1, 2, and 3. Well, lot 1 exists, and it's can be kept by the old owners. It's their old house. It's the original homestead. Why you'd pay in front of, I don't know. Lot 2 and 3, if applicable, well, what's in there? You just asked him to do everything. There's nothing. There's not one service in front of lots 1, 2, or 3. And I think Shirley wants to say
something. Well, let's finish. Let Mike.
Okay, but there is no pavement.
And then we'll
there is no pavement. There are no street lights. There are no sidewalks. There is no boulevard. There is no land drainage. Yeah. There is no sanitary sewer. There may well be a water line in there, but I don't know of anything else. But the developer shall pay his share, but you've just asked him to do it all. He'd much rather pay the share, just like he would in the clause 11 I talked about. Love to pay back if somebody else were doing it, but you've asked him for this, and you've asked him to do it all. I just wonder who. Shirley was off for a couple of weeks, sick at the time, I'm sure. By the way, land drainage is the only, there is one service in there, and it's land drainage. None of the there are no other services. And you're
so
asking
that's
him to
18s to cover the land drainage, I guess. Is that correct, Shirley?
Yes.
And that'd be fine, but lot 1 should be taken out because he's not creating lot 1. He doesn't make a nickel off lot 1. That's the original owners who would never, the city can never charge anyway unless they go for a rezoning of their property.
Or a local improvement, which they have a right to vote.
It's already in. You can't go for a local improvement when it's already in. It's illegal. Sorry. And the developer shall pay, number 19, its cost of the Portland cement concrete pavement purely constructed by others in the vicinity of the intersection of Grassy Boulevard and La Jemaudière, as determined by the Director of Public Works. No appeal, no anything, no boundaries to the area, no amount of money, just, I mean, do you want to pay for the, what, pay for Ham Street? Is that not right down there? How about Reg Wyatt Way? Why don't you pay for that? It's in the area. That'd be worth paying for, at least. It's, once again, it's very difficult for a person who's trying to build 12 houses, 10 on Williamson, which should not be a problem, but Grassy keeps poking its head up in there. It's just two single-family dwellings he wants to build on there. Dozens have been built along there. Nobody's paid a nickel. Nobody has any services. They've just built. So anyway, I think there should be a grander scheme. I don't know if it's a secondary plan, but there should be something. Williamson should go through properly. There are no cross streets. Williamson dead ends, and there are no cross streets all the way up to Plessy Road. And I think there's room. This is all infill development. This should be a boon to the city, not a great expense. But to try and make one small developer who's getting two lots on Grassy pay for it all is asking a little too much. On 19, I can't argue. What is the amount? What are the specific lands? He's developing two lots, not the Williamson lots. They don't need it, but on Grassy, he's developing two lots. How much is he going to pay? $2,000, $4,000, or $800,000? What is he being asked for here? Point is, there's no way to appeal because it goes to the administration now. And if you don't agree to what the figures are, you don't get a development agreement. You got nothing because there's no appeal to the political body again. So to have these vague amounts in this last person who was here before us had three. You took out one of those costs for just pavement in the area. But he seemed to know exactly what it was. I don't know if it was listed. I don't have that report or not, but it's not here. That's it. They recommend in favor. Well, who wouldn't recommend in favor if you got somebody to do all your work for you at their expense and they get almost none of the benefit? So I guess all we're asking here is put on a fair share of expense to someone developing. Let them improve the community. Let them make their profit and move on and continue to do it again. Let them hire people, whatever. But to say we approve it and, in fact, turn it down is what this would be doing, because the costs here would be more than the gross value of the 12 lots created that he could sell those lots for. Any questions you have, I'd be more than pleased to try to answer.
The six. You said five. Six, I don't know. All right.
So many of them were the same clause, but
same clause.
Eight different ways. I don't know.
I don't know. While you're still here, Mike, I'd like to ask some questions of the administration so we can have a discussion. You're chomping at the bit, surely, probably, to speak to some of these. So versus having the discussion after, I prefer to do it now, and then other delegations come up informed a little bit. So in terms of, let's take it, start clause by clause. Clause number two, the developer shall at no expense to the city construct all water mains, wastewater, sewer, land drainage, sewers, and Grassy Boulevard and Williamson. The issue is not so much Williamson, the issue is Grassy. The impression. Could you just speak to that? And in terms of the issue being that there's two lots that they're creating on Grassy, and they are only two lots. They're not, you know, it's no lots on the north side, and it's not the larger lot of lot one. But anyway, please.
Well, Councillor, actually, I'm that's a planning question.
All right.
As the distinguished speaker mentioned, there's no services in front of this property along Grassy. Plan Winnipeg requires a full range of municipal services to be installed for the creation of lots and for rezoning to occur. So our Ham's a different story. And I can speak elegantly about that one just as well. But dealing with this, so with this one, the administration is asking for, and because there's two ways really for services to be extended here in the city of Winnipeg, either through a local improvement or for the developer to front end and extend the services. The developer in this situation was to front end and extend the services. Then, as the other houses further to the east subdivide and develop, they would have to pay their contribution back to this developer, and you know that's the way it works. Or, alternatively, it can be done through a local improvement where everybody who fronts along Grassy there votes in favor and have all the services extended, the full range, sewer, water, land drainage, concrete, roadway, and then we can facilitate development along Grassy. I note that to the properties to the west, where there are a number of lots that are smaller and have been rezoned, all have the full range of municipal services. You know, the administration in this case, actually Kim Raban was the person, I think, Shirley was on holidays, indicated that, you know, in this case, for the two lots to be created and for the rezoning to be occurring along Grassy, the you know, the full range municipal services have to be installed, and it's up to the developer in this case to do it. If the developer doesn't want
to
do it,
just to be clear, that's the full range of municipal services. Just to, are they just to service his land, or basically it would be the benefit with payback in terms of other
properties? Yes, because as other properties further to the west, they would have to do the to the east. And across the street as well, as the services get extended, if the property owners, and I'm sure there's lots of them here in the audience tonight, as the services get extended further to the east, either through a local improvement or for the adjacent neighbor decides to front in the costs, they have to pay for services that others have put in to extend the pipe. Probably the best situation here would be for all these residents to work together and do a local improvement and pay their fair share, which is an option available to the developer for the lands along Grassy as well.
Mr. Chairman. Mm-hmm.
They would have to, of course, vote in favor of the local improvement.
Say he would only be putting the services in up to the eastern limit of his two lots that he's created new. But that would mean the 5.5, if you look at the map, across the street lots, well, because they're already subdivided, they would never have to come before the city for a subdivision, a rezoning, what have you. So they would never have to pay. All these services in front of there would be absolutely no way of recouping it. Now, if it was built by local improvement, which Global Homes would line up to sign in favor of, I assure you, rather than frontage, you'd never get the money back from these five lots on the other side. 434 and 436, if it's not paved and don't have the services because they're east of Scourin, that's seven lots he'd never get it back from. He's only creating two, and seven people would never have to pay because they never need a rezoning. They're all fully subdivided and zoned now. And, of course, further east he's not doing, so it doesn't affect those people, except they're getting nothing again. There's no way to recoup a nickel from anyone here because they're all fully subdivided and zoned now, and some of them are built.
And not serviced.
Totally unserviced. We allowed it.
You want me to answer that?
Second, Councilor Bilotti, go ahead.
Sure, I'll answer it. Well, certainly there's lots of houses along Grassy to the east of this. They went in prior to Plan Winnipeg's quite some time ago under the policies that came in the early to mid-80s that require the full range of municipal services. Since then, and I have documentation on it, the full range of municipal services is required. There are a number of benefiting properties that could, such as the adjacent properties next door and further down. I've had more than a couple phone calls in the last month asking for people. They would like to have the services extended so they can subdivide along Grassy as well as extend Williamson Crescent. So the potential for subdivision is still quite high along Grassy Boulevard. East of this property. Without the services extended in the front of this property, the services can't get extended any further to the east. We're not encouraging or we do not allow under Plan Winnipeg or the future Plan Winnipeg or any other future plan to allow substandard services along Grassy Boulevard to enable subdivision of lots.
And the contention of the also the land though to the north? Which is vacant right now, but subdivided?
Yeah, the land to the north, it's actually zoned for multiple family, RMFS, small, and it's held by North Grassy Properties. I do believe that where their lot actually takes further to the west end of the property, it is serviced at that location. The services stop just west of this property line, but it services the lot technically to the north, not all of it, but it is serviced. If the applicant was to, it shows the lots as being subdivided, but the other lots across the street.
It's a city map. It's taken from.
On the I'm not sure why they're showing up as subdivided. Their lots 10, 9, 8, 7, 6. I have the same thing, but it's actually zoned RFM small. And John, we had approval on the property to do a row house type development several years ago. And it could be serviced from the point further at the furthest point to the west.
Was in effect.
Yes.
I know that.
Yeah, and he has services.
Still needed a full range of services.
Yes.
And it's got none.
And I'm saying he does at the west end of the site that could service the entire lot. You don't have to service the entire front of your lot. You just have to service up to where your dwelling is.
Impossible.
So you're saying it can be serviced from Scourin.
Well, service, yeah. I'm pointing at the map here, but the services go up to here. He can service his land. This is considered one site for multiple family. He has access to service, and it's considered fully serviced if he subdivides it.
So the contention is correct that there would likely be no payback in terms of the lots to the north?
Well, except for the lot. Potentially, I think the address is 453, certainly is subdividable, which is directly across the street.
But if he didn't subdivide and he built the house on the other side of the lot, he'd never need?
I do believe he has one house on it already, so if he wants to subdivide, he needs the services.
So he already has a house, so he won't have to pay either unless he subdivides his land.
That's the way we collect payback and services and extend them is when people subdivide or rezone and subdivide and rezone. So
we?
The city of Winnipeg. And then we collect the fees and pay it back to the developer.
I'm just saying there would be no collection and the cost would be more than you could sell the two lots for gross. You can't argue with that. You can say too bad or other words to that effect and say stay there forever with the leftover asphalt on this super busy, as you know, street. But he will not develop. He can't develop if he has to do this on grassy. If it's done by local improvement, he'll be the first one to sign in favor. Absolutely. Why wouldn't he? For all the services, full range. But for him to front end everything and never get paid back, because the people to the east aren't getting any services. He's not doing anything for them, so they're not going to have to pay him back. It's the people to the west, the John Weeb of Kelowna, B.C., on the other side of the street, great guy, by the way, but from a developer from Kelowna, and the two houses, maybe three, but the two houses for sure east of Scourin on the south side, 434 and 436, they're not going to have to pay back.
So just understand.
So nobody's going
to
pay back.
Your client wants to have these lots without full range of services, is that correct?
He's willing to pay the 2011 ally costs for all of these services for those two lots that the city can use toward installing them whenever it gets around to do it or when a major developer comes along.
But he realizes he would not be able to pull a building permit on them until the services are there?
Everybody else has.
And so the services in the interim would be what? The services in the interim would be what? Without the service, if the ally is not successful.
Well, you could develop forward an ally just up to that point.
Up to which point?
Just up to the eastern edge of his lots. From there back to Scourwood where they are, you could advertise an ally for the whole thing. If the city advertises, as you're well aware, it requires 65% to go against it. I don't think John Weeb could sign against it for 50% because he fronts the other way. Bingo, it's approved. Mr. Gertson may well have to pay for the huge double wide lot one, because that's the guy he's buying the land from, so he might get stiffed on that. And that's business. He doesn't want to do that, too bad, don't get in the development business. But to front for the city of Winnipeg, non-collectible, not even oversizing,
what
just
is it?
Insulation,
it,
totally non-collectible, is saying no.
But in the event that the allies reject it, you wouldn't be able to proceed with development on those lots?
Well, it depends where it comes from. If 434 and 436 have any form of, if they have pavement, if they have some services, that's one thing, because then he would control 50% on the other side, and it takes 65% to turn it down. And believe me, he ain't going to be against it, because, right, his land is useless without it. Also, Williamson is being tied in with all this because of the current ownership. And the 10 lots on Williamson, all we're asking there is let it continue what there, full payment, full services, full everything, and put a temporary turnaround at the end. And hopefully, if the people down, we want it extended. And if Global could be involved in doing it, of course full services would go. And you could even afford to turn it back up to grassy. But if you didn't have the grassy frontage, you could never afford to pave grassy. You're not building grassy, you're building Williamson.
But as you know, Councillor, there's two ways we can do the LI. We can go out general advertisement and people will just see the advertisement, or you can go out and do the petition.
Why would you, if you want it done and you don't want the city to do it, you advertise it at the request of Global in this case. And you take 65% to turn it down. 60 or 65? 60? Yeah, it's a little goofy there. On the other hand, if you get a petition in favor, you need 60% for. And you know what happened? I had a street that's still unpaved in my area, Court. I think everybody's familiar with Court around here. Coming down to the Walmart, the people demanded we pave it. They wanted it. They signed 100% signed a petition in favor. Good, we advertised, put the amount in, 100% opposed it. Every single time. I can't pay that much to pave the street in front of my house. But he can be afford to put it in front of a dozen houses to collect back from two, his own two. It's just, I'm not saying what should be and what would be the perfect world. I'm just telling you, it can't happen. And the alternative is nothing. I don't think the people of the area, and I'm not speaking on their behalf, and I don't know. I'm from the west side of the river. But I don't think they want a continued potholed asphalt road with rush hour traffic screaming down it to go on forever. And I don't think some of them probably want the big undeveloped back lots forever. But I met a couple of guys tonight who would love to see it, Williamson, continue further past and then come out at a proper looping end to Grassy and a bunch more new houses be built in the area. Anyway, it's to you, your wisdom.
Yeah, all right.
I think I've pointed out here.
In terms of LI or any?
Yeah, we had this has come up several times in other developments as well where the developer can certainly go ahead and advertise or petition for the LI and extend the services that way. That's an enabling framework to extend services here in the city of Winnipeg. As I indicated before, it's done one of two ways. Either the developer fronts in the cost of the services or it can be done through an LI, and it's been done in Transcona as well as North Kadonan. A good example is John Hideaway off of Bonner was done through an LI to extend the services along that street to allow the developer was the champion of that petition.
And those who would be subject to the LI would be exactly which lots?
We certainly would encourage for the LI to go from at the end of this property over to the other far end of where the house is, the last house starts, to that last final stretch of not down to Plessy's. No, I wouldn't go.
No side speed before.
I can't. The gentleman's here in the audience tonight. I talked to him on this phone. I can't remember his address off the top of my head. You know, the last house there, just before the big wide open field.
Yeah, I got his.
And there, you could have the road turn up.
Yeah, like
Grassy.
From there,
Williamson could turn to.
Yeah,
Grassy
where Ed Schreier Parkway would go through up to like there, that right away. That would be the length of the LI.
You would not do the LI just up to the western or easternmost boundary of this subdivision.
Judging by the phone calls I've had this week from a couple of residents, there seems to be interest in an LI and having its services extend further to the east.
Mr. Chair, if I may, it is standard procedure. If you were to just go to the east limit of this property, the developer would front-end it and then would ask the city to advertise as an LI for payback to the developer. The developer is taking the risk that
Why would anybody not oppose it when it's already put in and you can have it for nothing? People are not stupid, especially people in your ward. They're brilliant people.
Item number nine. I agree with you. Item number nine, that you're. item number nine. Shirley, the issue of the bulb.
Well, there's no bulb in it. But
or the issue of the right of way coming back up to Grassy.
It is a fire protection.
But
issue.
The contention would be, where would this right of way be established? How would this really work?
Well, that would be up to the developer to decide, but I'm assuming that it would be the last two lots, the easternmost two lots. It would have to be used either as a permanent or, more realistically, a temporary
solves the problems on Grassy, doesn't it? Wouldn't have to pave Grassy, wouldn't have to put anything, because you won't have any lots on Grassy. But you don't have enough lots left on Williamson to pay for, because you're losing two more of them. You'd only have eight lots. Yeah. And you have to pave all of Williamson, then you'd have to pave a side street up to Grassy, which isn't paved.
Item number 10, that's the Portland concrete, Portland cement concrete.
It's the same as
the services as the water and everything. Yeah. Now, the requirement is two full lanes that are being stated here? Is that the intent? Is that what?
Yes.
two full lanes.
Yeah. Okay. Full length. And nobody else would ever have to pay
up
back.
Up to the eastern
the end of his property. Three lots, two new ones and one existing. Yep. John, we love it.
And then the other issue is services. Can you explain the contradiction here that was put forward by Mr. O'Shaughnessy in terms of number 11? It was...
I can only explain it in terms of if some other developer were to come along and install all of those pavement, all of those services before this development were to proceed, then this developer would be asked to pay its fair share based on the frontage.
If that other developer were the city and it were an ally, wonderful.
But it, that, says, that it does say option. In the event.
Yeah.
So
it could be a developer, it could be the city if an ally went through, absolutely.
Yeah, okay. So it's there to protect your client as well.
In lieu of the previous clauses, it's wonderful, but not on top of them. Because
no.
Once they happen, this is a negative, this is a useless clause.
That's
if
correct.
He goes ahead and does those things they ask in the earlier clause. If you wipe out the earlier clause, this one stays in and it's great.
There's no land drainage ramifications because it's already in front of there, and they would have, if it was a local improvement in the past, it would have been covered off, no?
The land drainage actually doesn't go right in front of the property. It just, it's in front of the property just at the west end. I'm not exactly sure how far, maybe a third of the of the length. So it's not fully serviced with land drainage.
So then there is. These two lots don't have the land drainage in front of them, so I was right. There are absolutely
zero services
in front of the new lot.
The does have
the existing lot.
Yes.
And they don't have to pay. You're not going to dam it up.
The parent lot, but the original lot is the full length. Yeah.
Okay. Yes.
Yeah. But the part the existing owners care about,
right.
They've got them. They're not going to pay for
okay.
it.
Number 18, developer shall pay its share of the cost of services previously installed by the city and others in Grassy if fronting up proposed lot 1, 2, and 3.
That is really the same as number 3. It's the land drainage sewer that is already there, which doesn't go for the full length of that lot anyway. So it would absolutely have to be extended, the land drainage as well.
2 and 3 is fine, but 1 already is serviced and 1 he doesn't own and is never going to own. Once again, you can't tell them to pay, and you can't tell him to pay for somebody else. Lots 2 and 3 he absolutely should pay and wants to pay for. He's going to make money on those. He's creating those. Lot 1 already has land drainage. May not run the full length of his property, but the property drains into that, and they have it already. That's a small item compared to everything else, however.
The developer shall pay its share of the. What is the estimate? Do we know what this means? The intersection of Grassy and Lajimodi, item 19. Do we know what that cost really is?
Yes, Mr. Chair.
Oh, okay.
And the developer has been provided with this information.
Okay,
I haven't. I know.
$11,129.
For the whole 12
it's
lots.
It's an estimate for the entire 12 lots,
and there's
yes.
no addition. It's not three like the other guy had. There's only one. That would be no problem.
Okay.
But it wasn't in there how much it was.
No, that's fair. So now
but just to know it, that's clarification.
Okay. Okay.
I'm not saying he wouldn't object, but I know him well enough. But too bad.
Okay. Yeah, fair enough.
It's a minnow.
Okay. Was there anything, did anybody else have any other questions?
Mr. Chair, could I just add one more thing? I'm very sorry about this. Could I just add one more clause? Again, a typical standard clause. The developer's aware of it.
The developer's aware and accepts
problems with it. It's adding the survey monument protection clause.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. We'll deal with that. We got other delegations.
We will be here to sum up. And we will stick to what the others say and any questions you might have.
Okay. Thanks. Any other questions? No? All right. Others who are registered, I have registered in support. John Ducharme, registered in support. Mr. Ducharme, do you wish to speak?
No.
You're
in.
Okay. All right. Thank you. Cecil Notley. Aye, Mr. Notley. Please, yeah. Thank you for your patience tonight.
Yeah.
It's been a long night.
Yeah,
seen everything about dogs and Henderson Highway.
My name's Zeese Notley, and I live at, I'm at 498 Grassy, and I am in favor of this proposal.
Where are you in relation to this, Zeese?
I live at 498 Grassy.
Okay, so
I'm in the, I think we could, they're getting an awful lot of interest in the sewer and water in our area. Like, they've got to go, whatever, 200 or 300 feet. Mm-hmm. And it would take 1,000 feet of sewer to get to the last lot, which house at 520 Grassy.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I'd like the consideration for maybe getting a local improvement in this, if this could be done. We are working on getting a petition signed now.
Are you? Okay.
Yeah, for our end of it, about 800
right.
feet. But I really feel that the city should lean a little bit here, because what they've done, they've made a Grassy Boulevard a feeder route now. Like, they're moving all the excess traffic from Regent is coming down Grassy, and I would sure love to see what the traffic counts are there. Like Mike says, he was there at rush hour, and it's rush hour all day long now there. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And anyway, I think it's about time the city did sort of help us out and get the sewer, because of the water situation, high water, and you know, there's 50-year-old septic tanks there. I mean, they're all working good.
Have you got the numbers from the city staff in terms of the frontage cost estimates?
We did 2 years ago.
Okay.
And our costs would, at the time, it was $100 a foot for sewer. And I think water would be in about the same, around $100. Does that sound right? About $20 a foot. So, you know, most of us are 100-foot lots, so.
And, you know, full range of municipal services includes not just sanitary sewer and water, but also land drainage, so that's storm sewer,
yeah.
and paved road.
Well, I've been in contact with ALMI, and I know what you did there, and I, you know, so.
That was just water. And,
then their drainage was no different than ours. They
right.
have ditches there, too. All they did is made the ditches deeper, that's all. So mm-hmm. I can't see, you know, where we're really responsible for land drainage. I think the land drainage is the city, but I mean, this is just my input into it, and I think that I'm going to pursue attempting to get enough people signed up mm-hmm. so we could maybe get this as a local improvement. I've already applied to the water and waste to continue on, and with the hope that they're getting the sewer up to there to 440. But, 444. Mm-hmm. So I just want to say I'm in favor of it. Yeah.
Yeah. No, I hear what you're saying.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay.
Thank you, Zeese. Thank you. Right. Any questions for Mr. Notley? No.
Surely, just saying, full range of services is probably about $600 for each foot.
Okay. Okay. We have anybody else who's registered in support that I have not read a name? Anybody registered in support? Seen none. I do not have anybody registered in opposition. No one is registered in opposition. And so therefore, I'm going to ask, these are folks who are registered for information. Dave Young?
He had to leave.
Oh, did he? Okay. All right. Barry?
Yep.
Barry Young, would you like to come forward? Thanks for your patience.
Hi, guys. My name is Barry Young. I live at 470 Grassy Boulevard. My son lives right next door to this proposed development. He is the first property to the east of this development.
Right.
We own a two-acre lot in there. And I guess my concern is this roundabout. I've heard stories of roundabouts, and I've also heard about a temporary road going through. Like, where would this temporary road go would be one of my questions. Where would this roundabout go would be another one of my questions.
Okay.
As far as the land going, as well as far as Williamson going east, nobody has approached us in about 5 or 6 years. And the last guy that did it kind of said, well, we'll take it off of your hands, but don't expect to make very much money on it. And I'm sure, as Russ, you know me, I explained to him where the end of the driveway was.
Yeah. Okay.
That's just about all I have to say. I am in agreement with what Cease is saying.
Mm-hmm.
Like some of our fields are getting pretty old, and with this wet season,
mm-hmm.
nobody wants to look for trouble.
Mm-hmm.
But I do also agree that the city should kind of say, hey, with the amount of traffic we're giving you guys, we're going to chip in really, really good. That's all I got to say.
Okay, Barry, thank you.
Okay, thank you, guys.
We'll try to get those questions addressed. I've made a note of them for the planner.
Okay, and also, with this sewer and water, how could a person find out what a cost would be per foot?
There's a person you can call in the city of Winnipeg who can give that to you. They'll take your property down and do a calculation based on today's construction costs. Cease mentioned it. He did it last time about 2 years ago. He probably has the same contact person. Mr. Ballard, I believe, Lloyd, or maybe it's changed. But anyway.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
Mr. Yost, just looking at the diagram here, the rear, how far back does your lot go? Is it the same?
We are 200 feet.
200 feet.
Right. Yeah. Pardon me. The depth is 400, I believe, and 29.
Okay, but there's a separate parcel.
There are separate parcels.
It's a landlocked parcel back here.
The back acre is divided between myself, my brother, and my sister.
Okay.
The frontage, 200 feet, is 100 foot of my son's and 100 foot of mine.
Gotcha.
By 219 deep.
Okay, but you own the rear parcel there, too. Then.
Pardon me?
You own the rear 200 feet as well, though.
I own a third of the rear.
Gotcha.
Yeah, the family owns the rear 200 feet.
Okay, just wanted to check. Thank you.
And the brother and sister would also be in agreement.
Sure.
If the price is right.
All right.
Well, okay. Let me have the planner address your question. Sit down, Barry. I'll get the planner to address your question right now about the roads and the bulb and all this sort of stuff. Go ahead.
Well, sure. Well, first, the guy you want to talk to at the City of Winnipeg is George Walatka. George, his phone number is 986-2539.
I don't have a pencil on me.
We'll get the, there's lots of people pulling out pencils here.
Okay.
We'll get you that number. So anyway, he's the guy who'll tell you how much it costs for local improvement and a frontage foot and all that, those wonderful things. All those numbers are available. In terms of the temporary road, because of Williamson Crescent can only be extended so far, our fire department gets very nervous with having so many houses on a street without an ability to service it from two access points. So it would be up to the developer to do the temporary road up to Grassy Boulevard. On one of the proposed lots, likely either, I'm guessing they might like to go through lot three. And then the ball would all be entirely not on your lands, if that's your concern. Nothing's going to be on your lands. We can't do anything on your land. You're not part of this application. So what's happening on your land stays on your land.
Very good.
If you want to come in, do a subdivision rezoning, then the ball would be on your land and the temporary road on your land.
Right on.
But it's not going to be on your land.
Okay.
Okay. Thanks, Barry.
Thank you.
Yeah. Thank you. Mr. Lowen? Hi. Okay. Great. Thanks, Mr. Lowen. Norma Whitfield? Norma? Hi. Welcome. Thanks for your patience.
I'm Norma Whitfield. I live at 444 Grassy Boulevard and have lived there for 51 years. And I knew nothing until a couple of days ago about this road that is supposed to go through. And I'm terrified that it's going to go right beside my window, right at the absolute edge of our property. And that I'm already being flooded out at the back because the fences back there, there are five houses or four houses at the back of us. And Their fences come, their fence that are at the end of our property, but their sump pump hoses come right up to the edge of the fence. They touch the boards of the fence. I've got water coming from the east side, water coming from the new houses on the west side, because we're old, their lawns and so on are all higher than our property. And if they put a road in somewhere in there between us and the edge of Mr. Gertson's property, I'm worried about where the water is going to go from that road. Is it going to are there going to be ditches? I'd like to know what the difference is between a temporary road and a permanent road, and how wide that would be, and where the water from that road would go. Would it come, if it's put right beside our house, like 10 feet from the wall of our house, our basement will be flooded. I'm already flooded. We couldn't mow more than twice this summer because the whole back area was flooded. The city even sent somebody to wash out their hoses from the fire hydrant at the back, and our septic field is back there. We have a septic tank and a field, and they came and washed their hoses and turned the hose not to the sewer that was right at the end of Williamson Crescent, but they turned it into our field. They thought it was an empty field of some sort, and that's where our septic field is. And I went out and told them put it towards the sewer, and they said no, and they just laughed. And I called the city. They came back and pumped it out again.
Good. Well, no, I, your point's well taken. Thank you very much.
I just came for information.
For sure. For
Thank
sure.
you.
No, appreciate that, Norma. Thank you. Darlene and Scott McDonald, 1133 Brunswick Street. Are they still here? No? Okay. Heather Vanrobase, hi.
Hi.
For information? Okay. Did you have any questions? Or, yep, for sure. And just state your name and address for the record again.
I'm Heather Van Robies, 143 Williamson. I'm actually the lot right beside Ms. Whitfield.
Right.
I came for information because we saw the sign, the neighbors and I, and our concern on is this development is, if they do go ahead and develop it, we have young children, and our concern is the construction and how that's going to all take place, and is there going to be construction vehicles going up and down our front street? Because it is, you mentioned the turnaround, you had to turn around, probably my driveway you turned around in, because I'm the very last house, right?
On the north side?
No, I'm south side. So.
Nothing personal.
No. But our concern is the construction vehicles going up and down the street. Where are they going to come from? How are they going to do it? Because there are young children around. I'm with the neighbor on the drainage, because the field beside us, which is her property, is always underwater, which makes the back of my yard underwater. We measured last spring. We had 2.5 feet of water in our backyard. Like drainage hose,
sump pump.
We put it in our front yard as much as we can. We put it going towards the side a little bit, but the field is always underwater, like completely underwater. My kids' toys in the backyard are floating because there's no drainage. We can't play in the backyard because there's 2 feet of water in there. Like, so I fully understand the water issue, you know, and so our concern is that, and mostly just how the construction is going to take place. We love the dead end. We like that Williamson ends where it does. We bought that house because there was no houses beside us. It was a big selling feature, you know, we like that, but we do understand it's city. Not very many people in the city don't have neighbors, so we get that. But we're really concerned with how the construction will take place and the construction vehicles. Because we see in the back of us where they're developing all in around Grantsmere and Concordia, those big construction, and Profanic Road, those big construction trucks always working back there, going down the residential streets. And with it being a dead end, we're concerned on that. So really, I just came for information as well. So.
All right, fair enough. Thank you. Okay. Appreciate that very much. Okay. Anybody else register for information I did not read? Seeing none, if the applicant can come forward. And I think it's fair to say, just so we can The report that came forward, there was a misnumbering on the clauses. It was kind of, seems like you had one agreement and we had a different one. I think there's got to be a little bit of a cleanup here in terms of what we're dealing with. First of all, the whole issue of this item number 9, let's just deal with that, of the go ahead.
If I might, Mr. Chair, I would just like to take 1 minute, literally.
Yeah, sure, sure.
To just deal with what the,
okay, fair enough.
The people for information had brought up. And I'd just like to talk to about a couple of them. The owner of 444 Grassy, which is the, at this moment, the owner of the entire parcel we're talking about, talked about, and you talked about, a temporary road. The ACG report does not talk about a temporary road. It talks about a permanent road. A permanent residential street, and it says permanent right in the clause, and it only says permanent.
No.
Yes, we have it.
It says paved, secondary, temporary, or permanent street.
Clause 8.
Clause 9.
Sorry.
Clause 9, I have it here, says the developer shall pay for the city prior to the release of the Mylar, its share of the cost of acquiring property for and constructing a permanent north-south secondary access street to connect Williamson to Grassy Boulevard. It's right there, word for word.
Yeah, sure. That's something different. Councillor, community committee, my understanding is that the previous applications further to the west, when they came online, money was collected from them for the future extension of Williamson up to Grassy. Somebody along who fronts onto Grassy, who will eventually back onto Williamson, will lose a lot because the Williamson has to hook up into Grassy. It's clear on the Transcontinental West Area Structure Plan. We have it connecting to Grassy because it needs to have that secondary means of approach.
The point is it's not temporary.
That one will be permanent. We're also asking through this developer to have a temporary road to allow secondary access until Williamson gets further extended to the east. So we're talking about two roads.
Mr. Chairman, there again in Clause 9, why is Clause 9 in there saying he will pay for the permanent?
He has to pay for
it. Hold on. Let's okay, fair enough.
I read it.
We'll come back to that.
Yeah, and it's
about, please
okay.
Respond
now,
there.
If a temporary road were to be built, as the owner of 444, I'm speaking to her thing, it would take out, it would come right beside her window, and it would take out four lots, the last two on the north side of Williamson, and the two going up, because streets are 60 feet wide. This street would require, as everybody told you, ditches. It wouldn't just be a gravel road out. It would be ditches. It would be wide enough to take out both lots. So it would be the last two on Williamson on the north side and the two up beside the lady at 444. So four lots. So once again, you're down to eight houses. You got to do all these services, everything, and you got to build a road now, which they're going to wipe out someday, which may be well beyond the time he's in business. But to ask him to pay his share, under that understanding, Clause 9, that he is obliged to pay his share for the frontage on Williamson that's extended of the turn-up permanent road eventually, wherever that does turn up, sounds to me if you could come up with an amount, say, okay, there's going to be, it'll be approximately, I don't know, 40 houses long before it turns up, and that'll be each side, that's 80 houses. He's putting in 10 of them along there, and he should pay a quarter of that. Would be fair, and let them pay the amount up front, not owe forever. It's not like there are people, by the way, who have letters of credit the city of the late Councillor Clement put in for the Ridgewood Corridor. They've had money sitting there, letters of credit, paying the interest on it for 30 years now. The city is never going to build the Ridgewood Corridor. That's in court right now. So give them a fair charge based on today's LI rates, and let him pay it up front as his share and let the city hold it to when the city does decide to turn it up. And if these people get Williamson extended, people who own the next 200 feet for sure, they can get 15 lots off their house now, him and his son. They can get 15 lots there just extending Williamson and the frontage. You know, and if it turns up past them, terrific. and maybe they'll do a deal with my client, and maybe he'll put the lots in. I don't know, and that's really certain. But it said permanent. It said he should build it all in Clause 9, and you're going to clarify that, and that's fine. As for the lady at 143, I believe it is, Williamson, yes, there would be construction vehicles. If you're going to put in a road, you're going to have heavy construction vehicles. And if you're going to build houses, you're going to have home builders and their trucks and whatnot and the various suppliers. And that's going to be. But she also talked about the flooding. And if you build the new houses and put in the new sewers, you're going to end the flooding. And as she said, she knows she wasn't. They bought the house because of being the dead end and nobody would be there. But she also said, I know I live in a city, so I mean, we can't say no more houses in Winnipeg. We have no desire to as Winnipeggers. Because I covered myself with that because I should have been saying you, not we. But, yes, don't deny, there will be people building those houses and putting that road in. But the flooding will, in that immediate area, will end. That's all I had to say with regard to the people speaking for information. But if you have other questions of me.
Councilor Rowati has a question.
A quick one here.
I'm here.
So let me get this straight. If we were to build a permanent road across part of 444 tomorrow and took out, say, four buildable lots, as Mr. O'Shaughnessy is suggesting here, the other homes on Williamson, like let's say you lose four lots, $400,000 plus the cost of the road, let's say it's another grand, it's $500,000. Would that cost have to be shared by the owners of all the other homes on Williamson? What do you mean by its share? What does that mean?
Okay.
I can answer that one, well, by the way. It's not its share of the temporary. He would pay, my client would pay all of the temporary.
All the temporary. But,
plus
but
if there was his share of the eventual
but if the
permanent.
But if the permanent were to be put in tomorrow across 444, the cost of that, are they put on, including the lot, including the land acquisition costs, I mean, with the proper return for losing four buildable lots?
It could be written into the agreement that the city will endeavor to collect when future development proceeds for the share of that permanent
But the
roadway.
Other the other homes in Williamson don't have to pay for any of that permanent
existing
second
homes?
Access. Yes.
No.
There's no money put aside for that.
Shirley missed this ACG meeting. She was on holidays. My understanding was that the development to the west for the ones on Williamson, they had to pay their fair share too.
For the permanent access?
To the city of Winnipeg for the permanent access. And with the idea that as Williamson gets extended, we'd keep collecting that money, and then when the last person who where the road's going to go up permanently, there would be enough in there to pay for the land and pay for the, you know, part of the pavement, and everybody has contributed to that then. That way that person doesn't have to. If you've got a 100-foot wide lot and you're losing 50 feet for a road, you don't lose your lot for, you know, because the city could legally just take it through 60. A plan of subdivision. We're trying to do it fairly enough that they get compensated.
Okay.
So it would be determined how far Williamson will go before it turns north by how much you've collected. When you got enough to build it, you lose the lottery. It's going right through your house, Chuck.
But you get compensated for that land at least.
Well, the city would make sure it went a little further so it didn't go through his house. It went through his yard, maybe his garage, maybe his dog kennel. If my client, for the new 10 lots, instead of putting a temper in, because we know the city has lots of cul-de-sacs this long, but you wouldn't want to go any further. The next piece, you'd have to have a temporary at least going up, and that's understood. But there's lots of cul-de-sacs, 10 houses deep, and there'd be 10 houses on each side of Williamson. There's lots that deep in Winnipeg. I know fire department would like to have, but they'd like to have the whole north end and every home over 20 years old wiped out so everything was new standards, because there aren't fires in North Kildonan, as you know. But if my client were to be charged the same amount that the other homes paid, or the first eight, I think it is, on Williamson, you know, that way. If he paid the same per lot amount, I don't think he'd be able to complain. Everybody's paid it to date. You're going to pay it. And we're saying for sure the next people are going to pay it until we put a permanent road on. But I don't think you need a temporary road running by this poor lady's window to wipe out four of his lots, number one, and number two, and throw it all, and two, to run a gravel road up beside this woman's window and have to put more ditches in and keep all that water in the area. I think 10 houses is, there's precedent. There's multiple precedent in the city of Winnipeg to see a cul-de-sac 10 houses long.
Oh, no, this says paved temporary, by the way, not gravel.
Just oh, paved temporary.
Oh, yeah, they want paved. It's in here.
Just paved to temporary.
Oh, yeah.
15-meter right-of-way.
50-foot right-of-way. What about the ditches?
They'll fit.
They'll
asphalt
fit.
Road.
Oh, and you know how we have all these 50-foot streets in your ward, right?
Temporary.
Oh, none. Yeah, and it's all throwaway, and he has to pave it, and he has to lose four lots. Because his lots aren't 50-foot wide. He would lose four lots. Sorry.
All right. Was there anything else, Mike, that you heard? No?
And I'm only here to answer your questions at this
point. All right.
Point.
So item 9, in terms of the right-of-way, was there any bylaw governing where this access was going to be put in place? Was there a secondary plan or bylaw to say that this shall be the location of?
In terms of the permanent access?
Right.
Yes, according to we do have the secondary plan for the Transcona West area.
But does it say where the access will specifically be?
On the map it does.
What map?
On the transportation map, I think it's map 5.
And it's not at 444 Grassy.
Yeah, the permanent one isn't.
Where's the permanent one?
It's at the at the far end of the street on the last property.
I see. Shirley?
According to Public Works, it would come out to Grassy Boulevard somewhere east of the subject property, most likely immediately east of 520 Grassy.
So it would continue on to 520. Okay. Just to the east of it.
That's Public Works' estimate of where it would be.
Further down.
Over here. Yeah, I know where 520 is. So, all right. Okay. Where'd you go?
I just can't keep my mouth.
Yeah, no problem. No. Well, what I like to do is this.
I keep forgetting that I'm nobody now.
No. What I like to do is this. I like to, item clauses 2, clause 10, clause 11, in the event that we do the LI, that, because this is the one thing that I heard a little bit of common ground here on, and I'm prepared to go down this path. Clause 11 is really null and void in the event of the LI. And clause 18. So really we're talking clause 2, clause 10, and clause 18. 19's been wiped. That's the $11,129.
Yeah, fine.
So that's fine. Clause 18. I like the administration to sit down with the applicant. I just maybe take a bit of a break versus having to come back a month from now and come up with some wording to deal with an LI that would be acceptable to this committee. So,
any wording with regard to an LI would be acceptable to Mr. Gertson, and I am not.
But not a city advertised LI, I'm assuming. You're not wanting the city to.
If he requests it, he can request it without a petition of over half. He can request it, and if he requests it, it takes 60% to turn it down. I'm telling you, he would be willing to request it if he's if he has authorization from the lady who spoke earlier, who still has title. You have to have authorization for the land. If he can get the authorization, in other words, if he can legally do it, he will. That I can say on his behalf.
Final authorization, though, will still come back to this community committee and to the standing committee, correct?
For LIs.
Yeah.
Okay. Only if it's closed.
It's a different process from the development.
Sorry, local
process.
Improvement. It's exactly what you're looking at. But it's, again, I'm talking about an LI just up to
the eastern
limit, not beyond.
Unless.
Because we're talking about a local improvement here that is involving water. It's all the full range of municipal services, right? Water, sewer, storm sewer, and paved road.
And he would be more than willing to pay for his share of the frontage. How it would work out with the existing landowner, I can't commit them, and I can't commit Mr. Gertson. How the other side of the street will react, I don't know. That we would find out by advertising an LI. The lots immediately to the west who aren't, don't have a full rate, there's a couple more houses before you hit Scourin, or whatever the name on the other side is.
Would they be subject to the LI?
No, would they be subject to where we want to draw the boundary?
If they're not subject to it, the city would have to pay the difference. It wouldn't be an increased cost to the people further down. That I know. And then the city might decide not to advertise it because of that. But you can't say everybody in the city, your LI rate is for streetlights is $18 a front foot this year, except for your project, it's 24 because you don't get, we can't collect from everybody.
But correct me if I'm wrong, other than up to 444 Grassy, everything to the west of there, they're already serviced.
They're already serviced.
They're already fully serviced. So would
no,
they
they're
be?
Not. Not beyond Scourin.
To the west
it's
line.
It's tapered.
Of, yeah, the pavement.
Tapered, okay.
Well, I guess that would be
well,
the question.
Well, if they've got it, they won't
the
pay.
LI and who would not be subject to the LI?
We would draw the boundary and probably make it the west property line. Like,
if they're not getting the services, they won't have to pay.
Part of the LA would have to pay for that. Like, it's tapered down, right? Like, when you with concrete to asphalt, it just doesn't, like, go, you know. It's tapered down. So part of the LA would calculate part of the cost for the engineering to, like, to do the untapering part. That's just the cost of the construction. The construction of the road is X dollars. You know, this is how much it's going to cost. Unfortunately, we just don't suddenly have a like concrete that go to gravel, or there's usually a tapering.
But we do have 2011 local improvement published rates, and they're the same citywide.
Yeah.
And they're per front foot. They got nothing to do with tapering. But if the people in those houses on the west side, south side, I guess, if they already have the services, of course they won't be included in an LI, and of course they won't have to pay. Only benefit, it's all about benefiting properties by front foot.
Okay. Well, I'd like to clean this up and find out who would be subject and who would not be subject. And if I lay it over, would you want a one-month layover or a two-month layover? Is there any preference, sir?
Well, for this, obviously I'd rather have a one-month layover if there were some talk, because there hasn't been any talk about extending the whole area and developing these people. It's too premature for that. They would have to reach that. So I would prefer to be as short a layover as possible.
I think this is the only real issue outstanding. I, in terms of the issue of the temporary road, as far as I'm concerned, a temporary asphalt bulb makes all the sense in the world.
Well, that once again would be on this fellow's property, or at least the back part.
No,
of the
well,
free
it would be on
home.
your lots at the end of... at the
well,
end
you'd
of
lose all four lots then.
A temporary bulb? Well, you would have to...
You only lose two? Sorry. Well, if they're deep enough, it might be workable. I mean, it might be workable.
I'm using your
I'm just asking
I'm
you. Yeah.
As a temporary
but I'm just I mean my client would rather have nothing. Would rather have just what they have now,
I
a
know,
dead end. And the last two people people use their driveway to turn around if they turn up the street by accident. I didn't do it by accident today, but
I bet some of these temporary bulbs are just on like regular lots.
As long as you can still build on them, and they're sort of like they're on a on the end of a cul-de-sac, they have the, and then eventually they'll inherit more frontage when Williamson's created. If the lots are still deep enough to do that, terrific. But let it.
I'm prepared to set conditions
that protect the city.
Absolutely,
and we understand.
And I'm prepared to support a temporary bulb, asphalt bulb, at the end, on your client's right of way up to the west or eastern limit there. So that I don't think is an issue anymore. The other issues have been addressed. The only issue is let's sort out the in terms of how the LI, the boundaries of the LI, who would be impacted.
Yeah, well, you can't do that here tonight.
No,
obviously.
We can't do that tonight. So that, but a month is more than enough time to sort that through. So I'm going to move that the matter be laid over until the February meeting, and that we be back here and we sort out that matter. And again, the LI, I want to make it very clear, just up to the eastern boundary of this property and not
eastern
impact
boundary,
and
sort of western boundary
east, well, eastern. We're coming from, the services are coming from the west to the east.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So it'd be up to the eastern boundary of the subdivision in question.
Oh, okay.
Do you follow me?
Not the rest of Grassy.
No. That is a separate issue. The residents are pursuing that. If they so desire to extend services of water and sewer, I think that's definitely more power to them.
They can do a petition, it can be done at the same time. You know?
It could, well,
the construction could happen together, but they could still be separate projects.
Separate projects, because the issue here is in terms of, we got an issue in terms of not just water and sewer, we got land drainage, and we also got the concrete road, so the pavement. So I think it's crucial, as you mentioned, 444 Grassy, you're working, that's part of this, and would have to be coming back to this community committee in a month for consideration. Again, those that are already serviced on the south side to the west of this would be outside the boundary, in my opinion. All right, so I'll move layover with those instructions.
Just to clarify, then you just wanted to have the Winnipeg Public Service report back with the...
amending clearly dealing with Clause 2, Clause 10, and Clause 18, and amending it in terms of addressing these concerns for full range of municipal services via LI program that makes sense and the boundaries that make sense.
For my clients.
For the development of lots on grass.
For my clients, clarification, you'd be talking about bringing a recommendation forward that would involve instead of a temporary road up to Grassy, a temporary bulb at the end of the development, all contained on my client's property, which would then be reclaimed as it came.
Yes.
That's also about doing all the improvements to Grassy in front of, I'm saying my client's property, the deal is subject to all this happening, but in front of, to the eastern edge of his property, all these improvements done by local improvement, if they're successful.
So we're not just addressing the local improvements on Grassy.
No, we're also saying that the clause in terms of that an amendment be brought for this consideration, for this committee to consider in terms of Clause 9, which is the bulb issue. And that's it.
LI, the temporary road.
Just a quick question for Shirley.
Is it clear, Shirley and John, what the intent is? Okay.
Is the intention still to loop temporarily the water and sewer?
The water.
Okay. That's why I was just...
Yes, please.
I discussed this with Kim. I just wanted to...
And then I'm not closing off public delegations, so anybody who's here tonight will be notified of the meeting next month, and anybody can come and speak again. So delegations are still... You can still speak. The applicant will be able to speak, but hopefully we'll have a bit more clarity on this matter next month. Okay? All right. Thanks very much, everybody. So moved.
All's in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Carried.
Oh, this has to be added to as well. Missing the movie term? Yeah, I got something I want to add on the regular agenda. So I'm going to
reopen the regular.
Yeah, we need to reopen the regular.
Opposed? Sure, reopen the regular meeting. All's in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Carried.
Really?
Back to the regular agenda.
Nice seeing you. Okay. I'd like to. You're going to type this because I didn't bring a motion. I'd like to move that the, again, we didn't have somebody today from Public Works. So this will go to them. It stays here at this community committee to report back to this committee. But I would like them to look at options or look at the request of the Winnipeg Public Service. Look at the feasibility of removing the truck route as it pertains to trucks more than six wheels.
If we're excluding the other
on Day Street from Pandora to Gunn,
is that all John Weeb up there?
You have to report back here.
One, two, three,
okay.
Four, five.
All's in favor.
Yeah.
Thanks. And if they need any clarification on that, they should
carry.